Blog Talk Radio.
This is Clarence Cloverleaf welcoming you to Cloverleaf Radio. Remember, you can always dial in at 646-716-4378. Be sure to watch your language, please, as we are an all-ages program. But we would be delighted if you would sign up for a Blog Talk Radio account, should you so desire, as it will keep you connected with us. And you can always download the newest episodes for free.
Hey, this is Denise Poirier, Eon Flux.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Grau, owner of the legendary Mark Grau Voiceover Studios in Burbank, California, and also a voice actor known for narrating Alaska State Troopers, also the voice of Mr. Zircon in the Ratchet & Clank video game series, a couple of promos here and there, some trailers, and the infamous Mario & Luigi voices in Hotel Mario, which was probably the worst video game ever.
Hi, everybody. This is Larry Kenny. You know me.
All righty, we're back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. I have no idea who my co-host is, but we got John Minnick with us. How's it going, John?
It's going pretty well.
I finally found Herb. It took a while, though.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, we're all out of money.
Yeah, that's true. Can't even afford the Burger King anymore, unfortunately. But how's everything with you?
It's pretty well. I've got a really nice life here in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm still in the business, but maybe in a place that's a little bit nicer.
Well, what made you want to get your start in the entertainment industry? You've been doing it for quite a long time.
Well, both my mother and father were in the business, and they went all the way back to those kind of vaudeville days, and my father had a fairly nice career in Los Angeles, but he was more on the crew side. He ended up being a driver at Warner Brothers. And my mother and I stayed. My mother, I, and my sister settled in Wisconsin after he passed away.
Wow, I bet that was pretty hard, losing one of your parents.
Yeah, he was 16. I mean, I was 16 when he passed away, and
wow.
And so it was all right. It, you know, it happens, and I guess it was just sort of in the blood. And my father was a leading man. My mother looked like me. She was kind of funny and kind of gawky and. I'm sure I pretty much got everything I needed from her in terms of being silly.
Yeah, it's great what you can pick up from your parents or your grandparents, depending on who you're raised by.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, moving into Herb, how did you get the gig of being Herb, and what was all that like? And, of course, adding to that, what was it like appearing at WrestleMania 2, because I'm a big wrestling fan?
Oh, well, just a sidetrack here. In the last couple of years, I gave up acting and I started training. And we also have a licensed talent agency. And one of the people that we trained was Adam Copeland. Do you know who that is?
Edge.
For real. And his wife is was also a wrestler. Do you know who that was?
Oh, I'm not even sure who he's married to.
Well, he's actually not married to her. I guess that would be misspeaking. But he lives with, they're a couple, Beth Phoenix.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea.
They live here in Asheville. And he's just a superb human being. He came to one of our open houses, and he was sitting in the back, this great big strapping non-actor looking guy. And I thought he was a football player. I didn't have any idea. And I interviewed him, and I asked him what he did. And he said, well, I wrestled. And I didn't think anything about it until we put him in class, and every guy wanted to sit as close to him as they could. And I knew something was wrong. And every woman wanted to sit close as they could to him. And I had to talk to some of the guys in the class to find out who he was. And since that time, he's done really, really well. He's had a series up in Canada called Haven on the Sci-Fi Network. He did a guest starring a role on The Flash and a number of other things. So he's really, really doing a great job. So, you know, we came all full circle in that answer, but I just thought you might be interested. I had read that you were a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I used to be involved in. I was a manager and wrestler and stuff for a few years, and I've always been a big fan, so I'm sure it was great to appear at WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was. I didn't know much about it. It was in the middle of the Herb tour, and I think we were in Arizona in the tour when they said we're flying back to New York to do this little thing. And they said, you're going to be on WrestleMania. I had no idea what that was. It was only the first big one. They had one before that. And, you know, it was kind of small. But the second one was where they had, you know, the multiple WrestleManias from. Mm-hmm. Ours was in, I believe it was in Long Island, Nassau County Auditorium, I think. And there was also one in Chicago with the Chicago Bears in a big fight. And then it had another one in Los Angeles. But ours had Mr. T, and I had Rowdy Roddy Piper. And they were fighting. They were actually boxing. And G. Gordon Liddy was the referee. Do you know? Do you remember who that was?
The name definitely sounds familiar. I was just doing a Google on him real quick, but yeah, I definitely.
Well, you don't need to. G. Gordon Liddy was you know, the guy who staged the Watergate break-in, and he was just he actually had a really good acting career, and he's kind of a bad guy, and I shared a dressing room with him and Daryl Dawkins, who was a center for the New Jersey Nets at the time. He was like 7 feet tall. And Joan Rivers was there. She was the kind of like the announcer. We walked in, and I had no idea what wrestling was like. And I've never seen so many people into something like that. I was the celebrity timekeeper, so I get to ring the bell. And it was wonderful. I had a grand time doing it. And that was my first introduction to it. There are a lot of guys wrestling that I have no idea who they are. But Joe Frazier was there. And I got to eat supper with him, which I thought was pretty cool. Him and his son.
Yeah, I've been very honored over the years. You get to talk to a lot of the pro wrestlers I grew up watching. It's hard to believe that, you know, we're talking about WrestleMania 2 and 32 just happened last week. So
yeah, I know that makes me really afraid. I mean, the years I remember watching Super Bowl 1. How
wow.
Old is that? Yeah, very on our little color TV set, and literally they had to. Give away the tickets in Los Angeles because nobody was interested. It was the Packers and it was Kansas City, if I remember. And so, you know, time does pass. But I got the Herb job. I had left Atlanta where I was working at the Alliance Theater, which is their major regional theater. And I went to New York to break into commercials. And I got a really, really good agent there. I was really happy with them. But in the fall of 1985, I took a job on tour out of New York doing Harvey, Elwood P. Dowd, the role of Elwood. And the day after we returned on a Sunday, and Monday I had an audition, and it was so secretive that my agent said it was just something. And I said, well, how do I dress for something? He said, well, just wear something. And I went to the audition, and they actually made us read from like a Pillsbury Doughboy, something or other. And it was didn't have anything to do with Burger King. And I read it, and you know, I had no idea what I was doing, and I got a call maybe a week later, and my agent said they wanted me to go to this certain address. So they gave me an address. I had no idea where it was or what it was supposed to do, but they said, when you get there, ask for this woman. I can't remember the name. But I went down there, and it was a nice building, and I asked at the reception area for this woman. They said, there's nobody here with that name. And just as I was about to walk out, a woman ran through the door and grabbed me and said, come with me. And I recognized her because I had read her book. It was Vanjie Hayes, and she was a pretty famous casting director from J. Walter Thompson. And I'd read her book about, of course, because I was trying to break into commercials. And she took me into this room, and it was behind a two-way mirror. And people were giving me instructions to do improvisation over a loudspeaker. And I just, you know, threw caution to the wind and just act like a total idiot. And I could hear them laughing behind the two-way mirror. And then they let me go. And about a week or two later, I got a phone call from an agent, and they said, we want you to stand by a subway station on 110th Street and wait for a cab, packed for 2 days. And I said, okay. And so at 4:30 in the morning, I was standing by this thing, this subway station, and an unidentified, like a, I guess you might call it like an Uber now. I don't know. It was just one of the cabs that, it was kind of a cruddy car, actually. Picked me up there and took me to LaGuardia, and he handed me an envelope, and it said that I was supposed to ask at a desk for my ticket, which was first class, which I thought was very cool. And it was going to Chicago, and I got on a flight to Chicago, and got off the airplane, and there was a guy standing there with my name, and they put me on in a limousine and took me to a really neat hotel. And I still didn't know what was going on. And there was a note at the desk that said I should be downstairs at, I don't know, maybe 9 o'clock the next morning, which I did. And they took me to a photography studio where they had a bunch of costumes lined up, and they tried a bunch of them on. And I talked to two guys that were there, and I asked them, you know, asked them a few questions. They said they had been on the flight with me, but had just been watching me. I don't know, to make sure I wasn't crazy or something. And when we got done with that, it was on a Thanksgiving. I flew back. I didn't hear from them again for about 3 weeks. And the next thing I knew, I was asked to go to this address in, you know, kind of a, well, what used to be called Hell's Kitchen in New York. And it was, and of course they gave me a room number. And there was a bunch of wooden chairs, metal chairs that were bolted to the ground. And I had to sit in one. And the guy next to me was in handcuffs. And I still didn't know what was going on. And what it was a lie detector test. So they gave me this lie detector test. And I went back home after that, didn't hear anything from them, and then the next thing I knew, they called me and said that I had to go down to this address, and it was a tailor who was tailoring some outfits for the job. I didn't get the job for almost right before Christmas, but by that time, you know, the Herb campaign, the pre-campaign was starting to roll, and I sort of figured out what was going on. And finally, they did offer me the job, you know, right before Christmas. And then I was told that I was told about a week after that if I told anybody that I had the job, I would lose it. But I had already told all my friends, and so I had to get on the phone and tell them I was lying. So so that I could save my job. And then finally, you know, I was hired and we did the first commercials.
So much just to become a commercial and a character in a commercial.
Well, it was real top secret because supposedly I was this you know, real person. And what I did was right after I got hired, I asked Banji Hayes to loan me some money, and I flew back to my hometown, which I hadn't been to in years, and I created this character who worked in a cheese factory, because supposedly he didn't know anything about Burger King or fast food at all. So I created this little man who, you know, worked in a cheese factory in a little town, didn't know anything about anything, and his hobby was selling duck decoys in northern Wisconsin. And I came back with this book with photographs and a bio on the character, and I handed it to the people from Burger King and J. Walter Thompson, and they looked at me and said, "Do all actors do that?" And I said, "Well, this actor will, because I'm going to have to answer a lot of questions, and I better have better ones than what you gave me." And they gave me a list of answers for the character when he's being interviewed, and they were horrifying. I mean, just the worst things. And, you know, people who were used to grilling Gorbachev were going to tear me apart if I didn't come up with something better than what they had. So, you know, they gave me some license. The day we started, I had to appear on the Today Show. That's how they kicked it off in New York. And they had a script for me, and Jane Pauley, who interviewed me, was in on the script. But the first question she asked, I just totally went off script. And she was looking at me like a cow. And I just went on and on about my own personal little bio, my own little stories. And I walked out, and they looked at me and they said, "You go home," because I still lived in New York. And they said, "We'll get back with you." And I came back about 3 hours later, and I was in a room with a bunch of people, and they said that they had done the demographic or the research on the answers I gave, and they were really good. So they said, "Okay, we're going to let you come up with your own stuff, but we're going to put you through 3 hours of grilling," and which they did to try to see, you know, at least have some predictability as to what I was going to say. So that's how that all started. That was before we ever went on tour.
Oh, my goodness. I bet it was kind of crazy walking into a Burger King and having someone recognize you.
Well, I think what was even weirder was being recognized in public, because I was just a working stiff actor, and, you know, every bald working stiff actor in the world wonders what it'd be like to be famous. And I remember the first 2 weeks, you know, nobody really said much, but those commercials ran constantly. And then it became like crazy stuff, you know, women dropping notes in your pockets and propositioning you, and people trying to chase you down to see if you had any money. I was on tour with bodyguards, so, and I was completely, you know, I was pretty much in first class most of the time, but occasionally we have to be in, you know, coach if no first class is available. But most of the time I was pretty much protected from being messed with, except in Florida where there was an assassination, which is the weirdest thing that you could possibly imagine. Yeah, it was crazy. But my bodyguards, even though they were kind of klutzy and bizarre, they did manage to, you know, throw me in a van and get me out of there before I got anything happening to me. But it was pretty much as bizarre as you could imagine.
Yeah, it really sounds like it. Well, John, thanks for joining us today. Is there anything you'd like to plug or promote before we let you go? It was awesome talking with you.
Oh, the only thing I've got to promote is one of my actors, who just from Asheville, North Carolina, who got one of the major roles in The Boss with Melissa McCarthy, which is opening today. And her name is Eva Peterson, and she's 17 years old, and she's gotten the best reviews in the movie so far. So if anybody wants to go see The Boss, they'll see this leggy 17-year-old blonde girl who plays Crystal. And I trained her, and she's kind of a legacy, and I'm really proud of her.
Well, very cool. Sounds like things are going pretty awesome for you, Don.
They are, and thank you for your patience. Last week I had that little emergency with Liesl, my dog, and I appreciate you letting me come back on.
Oh, no, it's absolutely understandable.
Well, you have a great night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks again.
You bet.
And I still don't know where Gremlina went, but I guess she's not even here to begin with. She was here, but I don't know. Looks like we're going to be back as soon as I get this cooled up. We are going to be back tomorrow with former star of Pawn Stars and model Olivia Black, April 12th with Little Girl of the Month, Envy from Soul Patrol, and April 15th, former pro wrestler, the Masked Saint, Chris Whaley. So good things are going on there, and we look forward to seeing you on the tomorrow, actually. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great night.